Morning, everybody, and welcome again to everyone for this Lord's Day morning. Over the last few weeks, we've been just thinking in our meetings about Jesus, and we've used His ministry as the subject matter for our thoughts each Lord's Day morning. And the Lord had gotten His disciples, as soon as He'd gotten His disciples, to the place where they could say, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And as soon as they could say that in a way that they were committed to that idea, Jesus turned His face to Jerusalem and to what He called His hour. And that means that in the Lord's thinking, what happened in that hour was in keeping with the purposes that He stated for His coming. That it was His willingness to endure that was guided by the same compassion for people and submission to the Father's will that we've seen before. That the signs He worked were to demonstrate His authority to do what He did in His hour of His offering Himself and triumphing over our old enemy, our worst enemy. How do we then allow that hour to be stamped upon our hearts and minds and lives? It's always interesting to notice the things about the Lord's giving of Himself and His being raised up that sort of get our imagination. We are rightly impressed by what Jesus must have endured and then by what it must have been like to go out there and find a tomb empty. We notice when we read the Gospels the kind of respectful reserve that the accounts use in not necessarily describing all the physical details of either the offering or the resurrection, but instead demonstrating the meaning of it, of all of that, by people and by their conversations back and forth. For some reason, this time, I've been even more impressed with the conversations. And I want to do something maybe a little different. I hope it will be something that will grab your imagination and cause us to appreciate Jesus. I got interested in the question marks and the exclamation points in this episode, this whole part of the gospel. And so I've wondered what would it be like to think through all that the Lord has done for us with just the questions and the exclamations. So I've gone through, starting at the end of the Gethsemane account and going to the morning when the tomb was empty, and I've put together this account in my mind, and I'd like to share it with you. What I've done, I've drawn from five different versions, five different translations, and I'm going to put them in a place for us, ask you to listen to the questions and the exclamations and to imagine what's in between. We'll have on the screen for you who the speaker is in these questions, but I'm not going to fill in all the details, just to read the conversations and ask you to think, okay? Engage your heart with us for a few moments. We start at a place called Gethsemane. "Are you still sleeping and resting? It's enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand." Whom do you seek? Greetings, Rabbi. Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Whom do you seek? Lord, shall we strike with the sword? Stop, no more of this. Put away your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? Do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and He will at once send more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the Scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. They also blinded him and kept asking him, prophesy, who is it that struck you? Now we move to the courtyard of the high priest. You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you? And now inside the high priest's house where the council is gathered. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard me what I said to them. They know what I said. Is that how you answer the high priest? If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me? Now back out around the fire in the courtyard. You're not one of his disciples, are you? He denied it. I am not. Now back inside the house with the high priest and the council. Have you no answer to make? What is it these men testify against you? Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Are you the Son of God then? What further testimony do we need? We've heard it ourselves from his own lips. He has blasphemed. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, you have now heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered, he deserves death. And some slapped him, saying, prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you? Now back out to the gateway of the courtyard. Did I not see you in the garden with him? I do not know the man. I could have added here at the temple also, I've sinned in that I've betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? You see to it. And now outside the governor's headquarters, what accusation do you bring against this man? Now inside the praetorium, the governor's headquarters, are you the king of the Jews? Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priest have delivered you over to me. What have you done? So you are a king? What is truth? Do you not hear how many things they testify against you? Have you no answer to make? Now back outside the governor's headquarters. Whom do you want me to release to you? Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? Which of the two do you want me to release for you? Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews? Away with this fellow. Release Barabbas for us. Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? Let him be crucified. Why? What evil has he done? Crucify him, crucify him. Now back inside governor's headquarters. Hail, King of the Jews. Now back outside. Behold the man. Crucify him, crucify him. Now back inside. Where are you from? You'll not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? And then off to Gabbatha, the judgment seat at the stone pavement. Behold your king. Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar. His blood be on us and our children. And now to Golgotha, the place of the skull and the cross. If they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it's dry? Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother. Ha ha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross. He saved others. Let him save himself. If he's the Christ of God, his chosen one. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross so that we may see and believe. If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself. Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. Do you not even fear God since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Certainly this was a righteous man. Truly this was the Son of God. Now to the tomb in the garden, a little later, of course. Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. Why are you seeking? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Greetings. Woman, why are you weeping? Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? Mary? Rabboni, my teacher. Then Jerusalem, where the 11 are gathered. The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Peace be to you. Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? What do you think? That's the story as spoken in the emotions of people. It gives us a pretty good picture of what Jesus is bearing the judgment for on the cross. Dishonesty, betrayal, weakness, cruelty, pride, arrogance, inhumanity. All of the kinds of evil that go on in the schemings of men in the world. And all the kinds of ugly littleness of which our race is capable. It's all there. And Jesus bears that kind of thing in the giving of himself, not as a victim, but as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When I've read through this, I'm impressed by a couple of the phrases that appear several times. One is, what am I seeking in my life? Who am I seeking? Did you notice that? Jesus met them when they came out to arrest him with, whom are you seeking, twice. And then at the tomb, he greets Mary and wants to know, who are you seeking? Pilate said, who do you want me to release? Who are we seeking and who do we want are still the big answers when it comes to Jesus, or big questions when it comes to Jesus. And then I notice the difference between the beginning of this account, where you have weary disciples who are sleeping and resting, when it was no time for it, and then at the end of the story, the right time for it, when Jesus asked them, why are you troubled and why did doubts arise in your hearts, and when he greeted them with peace. The other thing is the way all of this corrects what has gone wrong. I've told you before that one of the things about the story that stamps itself on my mind is how Peter's not living up to his own best intentions comes out. And then how the announcement to people, Luke 24, is the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon, where the rest of us might have avoided Simon. The Lord wants us to understand that he has done what needs to be done to relieve us of carrying the load of failures and mistakes, and to offer us a chance to live with hope. Some days later, the disciples were asked, men and brothers, what shall we do? They had only proclaimed Jesus to be Lord and Christ. And they told people who obviously believed that that was the case, to turn their wills to the Lord and to be baptized in his name for the forgiveness of sins and for the promise of the Spirit. And then those people were never the same. They continued in living for that Lord and Savior we've read about. If you're here today in the journey of thinking of what the Lord has done for us is something that impresses your heart and can change your mind and thinking, and you want to act on the gospel's possibilities, then we, as we always do here, we'll offer an opportunity for that in this song. If you need to, you come while we stand and sing together.